Good afternoon, and a very, very warm welcome to church this morning. It's so good to come together as God's family to worship Him on His day, as His family together. It's a good place to be, and you've made the right choice to be here today. So thank you for coming, and a warm, warm welcome in Jesus' name. We've DJ Stewart with us today. Thank you, DJ, for your ministry to us, your faithfulness to us. We look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid on your heart as you continue your short sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. We look forward to hearing it. Thank you, DJ. This evening in Glenelg, we welcome Simon Rayburg, who is a friend of Rory's, who will be leading us in worship in Glenelg this evening. I don't really know much more about it than that. So do come along and join us if you're able. It will be lovely to see you there. And the weekly prayer meeting will follow the Glenelg evening service. There are several things of note. Just to point out, the National Day of Prayer for the Emergency Services will be in Kailakin on Tuesday the 20th of June at 7:30. Please do attend that if you are able. And then next Sunday, it's probably a difficult one. I don't know that we'll be able to get there. I just got a wee message from Reverend James McInnes from the Free Church Continuing to say that representatives from Cornerstone and Foundations Matter, who are Christian fostering and adoption agencies. Cornerstone, I think, is the only Christian fostering and adoption agency in England, and they're hoping to open an adoption and fostering service in Scotland. And they will be speaking at the Free Church Continuing Church next Sunday at 1 p.m. It will be very, very tight for anybody wanting to get there, but if you can be at two places at once, do go along there. So it is an invite from them, so I said I would invite it. So if we can, maybe we'll try and finish a bit sharp next week. I'll leave you to lead through the rest of the announcements yourselves, and without further ado, we'll hand over to DJ. Thank you, DJ.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be with you, and it's great to be here in the presence of God, of our Father in heaven. What a privilege we have to come as a body together to worship God. And we're doing that this afternoon by singing from the hymn Majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honour and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flows from His throne. So let's sing that hymn to the praise and honour of God.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flows from His throne.
Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honour and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority flows from His throne. Lord Jesus, we just come into Your presence and know that You are King, and that You are King of kings, and that You are Lord of lords, that You are King over the kingdom that we seek each day, Lord. And Lord, You are seated on the throne of the universe. You are sat at the right hand of Him on the throne, with all authority and dominion is under Your feet, Lord. We worship You that we come to a King that rules, a King that reigns, a King that is glorious, a King that is compassionate. We come to Him who is the servant King, and we worship You today, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that Your kingdom and Your authority will last forever and ever. And Lord, that we will rule and reign with You, Lord, under Your authority and under Your reign, Lord. We will rule over the earth, Lord, and we will rule over Your kingdom, Lord. And we worship You for that, Lord. That You have promised, Lord, that the meek will inherit the earth, that those who are in Christ will inherit the new earth, and we will serve You and work for You in the beauty of Your holiness. Lord, this is the vision, this is the reality, this is the promise, Lord. And Lord, as we see today, as we live in this life with its brokenness and with its pains and its sorrows, Lord, help us to look up to Jesus and see what is coming, Lord. See what the future holds, Lord. And may that give us strength, Lord, and hope in this day, Lord. Help us to seek You today, Lord, and seek what You have for us as Your children, Lord. And help us to honour and glorify You in our lives personally and collectively. Help us to be a light and an attraction to the world that is around us. That King Jesus, that Your glory will be seen in us, and Lord, that Your honour will be seen in us, Lord. Father, I thank You for everyone here. Thank You for every family that is represented. Thank You for Barbara being home, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the care that she received. And we pray, Lord, that You will bring her fully back to health and strength, Lord. Father, we ask that You would bring us all into Your presence today, Lord. And Lord, that we would see just the hugeness of the thing, the picture that is before us, Lord. And Lord, that we would see, Lord, the greatness of Christ, and that we would see the mountains that we face and the Goliaths that we face, Lord, shrinking in the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, on this day to look to our Heavenly Father, on this day where we have set aside as a Father's Day, Lord, on earth, that we remember that every day is for our Father in heaven. Every day is to come and offer ourselves up to You, to give to You, Lord, because You first gave to us, Lord. To give our hearts and our love to You, Lord, because You first loved us, Lord. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, that You love us and that You care for us and that You care about the marathon things that we face, and You care about the little things that we face, Lord. And that we're able to take all these things to Your throne of grace. We thank You, Lord, that You care for us as individuals. You care for us as a community. You care for this nation, Lord. And Lord, we bring this nation to You, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that again, that You will make it great, Lord. Not because of great men and women, but because men and women recognize You, Lord. Recognize Jesus Christ. Recognize the authority of God. And recognize the glory and the honor of God. And this nation, Lord, will again become great. This nation again would become a nation that would seek to bring the gospel to the four corners of the world. Lord, we have so far regressed, Lord, as a nation. that the nations that we once sent missionaries out to are sending missionaries back to this nation. We've become so secular, we've become so disobedient, we have lost our way. But we thank you, Lord, that the further the tide has gone out, the further it will come in. And we pray, Lord, for your kingdom and authority to come today to this nation and bring it, raise it up, Lord. Bring it back to life. Bring it back to a nation of praise and worship, Lord, of heart praise and heart worship, Lord, that you be glorified. So, Lord, we pray now and ask, Lord, for ourselves as individuals, and then we ask for our community, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will bless our community, Lord. And we pray, Father, as our community goes on with its life, Lord, and with its work and its business, that, Lord, that it would be awakened to the reality of Jesus Christ, Lord. We are not in a continuing city, Lord. We're not here forever, but we can be with Jesus forever. Help us, Lord, to make our calling and election sure, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses to this community, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for the people of this community whom we love and who are our friends and our neighbours, Lord, that they may see Jesus and they may desire Jesus, Lord. Because, Lord, we pray, Lord, first to the glory of your name, that this community would come under just the power of the Holy Spirit, come under conviction of sin, and come under the power of the love and of compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would seek, the community as a whole would seek you, Father. Father, we pray this and we ask, Lord, for your kingdom to come. And we pray, Father, for your authority and your love to be just manifest in our community, Lord. Rescue those, Lord, in our community who have gone so far into the pit, Lord, that they may think there is no hope for them, Lord. Lord, we know that there are many in our community that are struggling in many ways, Lord. Many who have lost the hope of life itself, Lord. But, Lord, that they may see that, Jesus, you are the life that will never, ever die. You are the life and the hope that they look for in other things, Lord. And as I was speaking to a member of my family the other day, I said, what you need is Jesus. What you need is Jesus. Ultimately, that's what everybody needs. We thank you for all the things that are available to us in this community and in this country, Lord. All the care that we can get, Lord. All the help that we can get. The security that we have and the protection we have. But ultimately, Lord, without Jesus, Lord, we are standing on sinking sand, Lord. We need Jesus, Lord. We need Jesus. And we need him more than we've ever needed him, Lord. And I just pray that our community would see that Jesus is the only hope for eternity. Lord, we might find things that we can hope for in this life, but Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have for eternity. He is the only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Lord, I pray that our community would see the Father heart of God. And I pray, Lord, that you be glorified in this community. Lord, we pray now that you would raise our hearts up to worship you, the God of our salvation, the God who has raised us up from the death of our sin into the life that is in Jesus Christ, a life that will never, ever die. Even though we physically die, we shall never die, because Christ, you have promised to overcome our greatest enemy, which is death. And we thank you for that promise, that you are the life and the resurrection. And because of that, Lord, even though we die, yet shall we live. So bless us, Lord, and encourage us, Lord, and bring forth your glory into our hearts this morning. And help us, Lord, as we sing and as we pray and as we worship, that we would meet with you in a powerful way. For we pray and ask these things with the pardoning of our sins. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. we'll turn and sing again, and this time we will sing from the Scottish Psalter on page 443, and we're singing Psalm 145 on page 443, and from verse 13. Thy kingdom shall forever stand, thy reign through all ages. God raises all that are bowed down and upholdeth all that fall. So let's sing from verse 13 to verse 18 to God's praise.
Thy kingdom shall forever stand, thy reign through ages all. God raiseth all that are bowed down, upholdeth all that fall. He
turning to Matthew chapter 6. We started to look at the Lord's Prayer, so we're going to continue going down through the Lord's Prayer while the times that I'm here with you. So let's read from the beginning of the chapter. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen. And this is the word of God, and we pray that he will richly bless it as we meditate upon it in a while. And ask Cheryl now to come and do a children's talk.
Story or a talk today that would fit in with what DJ is going to be talking about here and what we're going to be talking about in Sunday school, and I found the perfect story. So I want you to think very carefully. What is today? What's special about today? It's church, that's very special, Erin. That is the absolute right answer. There are some other special things about today.
Sunday.
It's Sunday.
It's Sunday school
today. It's Sunday school. All of those things make today really special. Is there anybody in your family that you said anything nice to, especially today, that's just for them?
My dad.
Well, that's handy. What's today?
Father's Day,
that's right. And today is a special day that we say specially nice things to our Father here on Earth. Yes, Anne?
Well, like, we were talking to Tom's mother, but he had a few and we had a few, but if
before any, church?
No, but for our dad, but we had some and he is handsome, but anyways, if we finished it, it would still be
a layer. Oh, that's handy. A two-layer box. Everybody loves that. God is so good that he gives you a two-layer life. Do you know that? He's good to you here on earth, but he's good to you in heaven as well, isn't he? So, today's Father's Day, and it's Sunday, and DJ was just talking about a special prayer. And who do we pray to? How do we start that prayer? What are the two words? We say, our Father, our Father. Now, Jesus, when he was born, we were talking last week about some very deeply theological matters of how God is, Jesus is part of God and is the same as God. But we think of God as being our Father in heaven, don't we? We say, our Father who is in heaven. But on earth, we have another Father. And we need to be good to both of them and love both of them and be obedient to both of them. And there's only one story we've got about Jesus that tells us how he behaved towards his Father in heaven and his Father on earth. We don't have any other stories about that, but this one. And this is what happened, and just listen hard, okay? It was a very special time of year, and Mary and Joseph and their whole family travelled to Jerusalem, which was a really, really long way away from where they lived. And they didn't have cars, and they didn't have motorbikes, so they travelled all the way to Jerusalem, and it took them days to get there. And they stayed all week together, Mary and Joseph and Jesus and all of their family and friends, worshipping God. But at the end, you know, when you go away with a big family group or all of your friends and all of the mums and dads are talking and talking and talking, do they always watch where you are?
No.
No. Do they always know exactly where you are? No. Have you ever seen a film called Home Alone?
Yeah.
Yeah? What happens there? What happens to the little boy? And why is he alone? No, because his mum and dad went off on holiday and left him behind by accident. And what happened was, they were all away on holiday, all of the family and all the friends and all of the grown-ups are talking, and the boys and the girls were playing, and the mum and dad packed up and started to travel to Jerusalem, away from Jerusalem, back home in a big crowd. And guess what? They travelled all day, and that night they realised, hang on, where's Jesus? He wasn't there. They'd left him behind. Can you imagine what your mum and dad would say if they'd gone a whole day of travelling?
Oh no.
Oh no, is the very least they would say. And then guess what they had to do to find him? Go all the way back. And they still didn't know where he was. So that's 2 whole days Jesus was missing. And then they spent a whole day trying to find him. In a big town like Jerusalem, they had no clue where he was. He was lost.
He was left
behind.
I saw the story before.
Can you imagine how worried his mum and dad would be? If you had been lost for 3 days and your mum and dad found you, what do you think they would say first?
Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Happy, grumpy, mad.
That's about exactly right. They'd be happy to see you, wouldn't they? And then after a bit, they might be a little bit grumpy and say, or they might even be mad, and say, where were you? You shouldn't run away. That's exactly what happened with Mary and Joseph.
You would have to roll.
You will. They would be delighted to see you first. They would love you and cuddle you. I'm sure they would.
You would have to go like this to me.
No, you wouldn't. Sit up straight. So, they went to Jesus and they were a bit grumpy and said, why have you treated us like this? Why have you done this? Do you know where he was? Where Jesus was?
In the temple.
He was in the temple. You have had this story before. And Jesus said, why are you surprised? Because I love my Father and I want to learn everything there is about him. So Jesus was talking about his heavenly Father, God. But do you know what the next line of this is? They went down to Nazareth, which is where Jesus lived, and Jesus was obedient to them.
What's
obedient?
Exactly, listening to everything.
Do you think? What else?
Not listening to anything.
No, let someone else say. What else? It's not just listening, is it? It's what?
Obeying.
Obeying? What does obey mean?
And you listen to someone.
And then you?
You
just do it. That's exactly right. So, Jesus loved his heavenly Father and wanted to go and learn as much as he could about them, but also he listened hard to his mum and dad, and he obeyed them. He did because he loved them too. So the way you can show your mum and dad how much you love them is not just by listening, but by doing as well. Okay? Great. We'll just go now. Right, on you go to our room. We've got things to do.
Before we turn to look at the Word of God, we'll sing again. And we'll sing from Psalm 93. And you'll find that on page 123 and 123. And we'll sing the first 5 verses. The Lord is King, his throne endures. Majestic in his height, the Lord is robed in majesty, armed with strength and might. So let's sing these verses from verse 1 to the end of the psalm to God's praise.
Thank you.
let's turn back to the Word of God. Could I ask somebody please to get me a glass of water, please? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Started to a short series with you, so the time I'm going to be here, I don't think I'm here for a few weeks, but I want to go through the Lord's Prayer so I can have continuity and you can have continuity from my preaching. So last week we looked. Thank you very much. That's great. Thank you. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, some call it the Disciples' Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17, where he's talking to his Father in heaven. But this is the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer for us. It was a prayer for his disciples. So we looked last week at the first petition. There are six petitions in this prayer. Three are directed towards God and his glory and his honour, the first three. And the second three are directed towards ourselves and our needs. And with everything, the prayer starts with God. It starts with God. It's like the Ten Commandments. They start with God. And that is always the starting point. We tend to make the starting point about ourselves. But the starting point here is with God. And we're introduced to God by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as Father. And we looked at that last week, how God is our Father. And we looked at God being Father, but we also looked at God being holy. That we have this intimate relationship with him as Father. We're welcomed into his presence. We're called, we are invited as the children of the covenant to come into the presence of God. But that God is holy. And we looked at, I took two readings from, one from Luke's Gospel. We looked at the prodigal son when he came home to the father and how the father put sandals on his feet. And this was the father heart of God, the compassion of the father clothing and making his son ready again for the service in the household as a son. So he put sandals on his feet. And this is the Father heart. We're coming into the presence of our Father in heaven, knowing that he clothes us and he prepares us and he loves us and he invites us. But then there's the other side where we need to look at God being holy, that he's Father. And we looked at the names of God as Yahweh, which is often, when it's used, there's often the compassionate heart of the Father with that word. And then there's the name Elohim for God, which always points to the honour and the glory of God and the majesty of God. And we remember that God is creator, that he's made all things. And when he spoke, when Moses in the Ten Commandments said, and the Lord spoke, is the word Elohim he's using. And then he talks about the compassionate heart of the Father, Father God. So we have the two pictures here of God, who's Father, yet who's holy. And holy means to be set apart. God is set apart from common things. And we need to set apart our thinking, our hearts, and everything. And we need to be set apart, not just in prayer, but in our lives. And we looked at how he put shoes on the prodigal's feet, but he said to Moses, take off your sandals, Moses, because you're standing on holy ground. And we're looking at the Father inviting us into his presence to have dialogue and communicate with him. But the Father is saying, come into my presence, but take off everything of yourself. Don't come into my presence walking in sinner's ways. Take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And it's the reverence and the respect, the intimacy that we have. And it's like any child that loves their father should have that sense of reverence and respect for their earthly father. How much more our heavenly father. And I was using the illustration, my children called me DJ. It would be a sign of disrespect. But yet we can come to God in that same kind of way. That we come familiarity breeds contempt, we have to remember who God is and come into his presence with knowing him as Father, but yet knowing that he is holy. And we come to the second petition, which is directed towards God again. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. See, there is a vast difference between earthly kingdoms and the kingdom of God. Earthly kingdoms, earthly kings and rulers are limited, and they are in decline all the time. Personally, and their kingdoms are in decline. And their kingdoms get relegated, and their kingdoms are replaced. And history has shown us that. We look through the Old Testament, the Babylonians and the Assyrian kingdoms, how they were just brought down by God. The mighty Roman Empire, and how that was crushed by the Vandals and the Goths. And then we see the greatest emperor that the world ever seen was the British Empire. And as Alistair Begg said, it no longer rules the waves. We see the Third Reich, the German thousand-year empire, ended in rubble. We see the mighty Soviet Empire crushed in upon itself, a shadow of what it formerly was. And we see the superpower of the United States in decline and going to be superseded in this century by China. So the kingdoms of men are always in decline. And there is a vast difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of men. Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 12 says, Praise be to the Lord, the God of grace, Father of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, Lord, is the kingdom, is your kingdom and power. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted over all. Daniel 4, verse 3, His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures for generations. And Psalm 145, which we just sung, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures for all generations. So we see the vastness and the glory of God's kingdom. The contrast between the kingdoms of men and the kingdoms of God, and the kingdom of God. We see God's kingdom is filled here with the praise of his people because it's glorious, it's eternal, it endures. We see men's kingdoms, they're inglorious, they're filled with shame and tyrannical things. And they're replaced and they're crumbling. Men's kingdoms are feet of clay. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom that endures forever. So with that in mind, how do we understand this prayer? How do we understand our lives in the light of this prayer? How do we understand this request in prayer, your kingdom come? How do we understand this instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us to pray, your kingdom come? See, Jesus instructs us to pray this way. So what is he asking? What's he telling us? He's not asking for the kingdom to come into existence. The kingdom is already here. John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is here. And in Luke it says, the coming of the kingdom of God, the words of Jesus himself, is not something that can be observed or people say, here it is. There it is, because the kingdom of God is in our midst. The kingdom is here already. The king is here already. He's in our midst. He's in our hearts. Jesus Christ is here today. And he's in our hearts. The kingdom of God is already here. So how do we understand this prayer request? Your kingdom come. Jesus is king. He is sovereign ruler over all. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, it says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in everything. Every human being from the beginning of time to the end of time belongs to God, believer and unbeliever. I'm not propagating universalism here. I'm not. But everything is the Lord's. Everyone belongs to the Lord. Everyone does not know the Lord. And everyone will not be part of God's kingdom. Because that's universalism. But the Lord is sovereign and ruler over all, to those that acknowledge it and those who do not. Because it tells us that in Philippians, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess on heaven and on earth and beneath the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is ruler over all things. So when we come into prayer, we as his people, we are asking for his kingdom to come. So how do we see it? And this was a real challenge to myself as I read this prayer. Your kingdom come. So what are we looking at here, Lord? And I really just realized in many ways that the Spirit came, that we're praying for more and more of the kingdom, its values and its power to impact our own lives and our own hearts. So I want to look at it under three headings. I'm going to spend more time on the first heading and briefly on the second two headings. Your kingdom come into my heart, or into our heart. Your kingdom come into your church, and your kingdom come into the world. Firstly, we're asking for the kingdom to come into our hearts as individuals. We're asking God's kingdom, God's power, to come into our heart. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 11, God instructs Moses to say to the people, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." He's instructed Moses to say that to the people of Israel. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. And in Peter 2, verse 9, I think Peter is saying that we're a royal priesthood. We are the possession of God, it says in Deuteronomy. We've been chosen by him, but as his treasured possession. For me, a kingdom of priests, the Lord say, a holy nation. See, there's again that word, holy. A kingdom of priests for me, God's personal possession. That's what we are. We're a kingdom of priests. God's people, God's kingdom. And we are the people of the kingdom. And there's a clause in that, though. A holy nation. We've been made holy, but we're called to holiness. So that's how we look at God. That's what we look at ourselves, that we're a kingdom of priests chosen by God. And that's who we are, and that's who we belong to. And Jesus is a great high priest of the kingdom. He is our great high priest. Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus is my Saviour. These are the questions I was asking myself when I was studying it. Jesus is my Saviour. He is my God. He is my King. But are you Lord of my heart, Lord? You are the King. But have I made you Lord of my heart? Is Jesus seated on the throne of my heart? Is he enthroned on my heart? Is he worshipped alone in my heart? Is he glorified? Is God, is Jesus sovereign ruler in my heart? That's the question, sir. Is he ruling over the affairs of my life? Does he have kingdom authority over my heart? As the hymn says. If so, we can pray for more and more of the power of God. More of the values of God's kingdom to be impacted into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And more of the influence of God, of Christ, come into our hearts. If he is ruling, we pray for more and more. we celebrate our King's eternal coronation. We've seen King Charles being crowned there a few months ago. The celebrations of a nation celebrating. But we're celebrating an eternal King here. We're celebrating a King that has died for us and who has been raised up, who died for our sins and was raised for our justification. We celebrate a King. Is Jesus Savior of my life, but not Lord? And that is possible for Christians to live like that. I know that from my own life. That Jesus was my Savior, but he wasn't in every area Lord of my life. We are still on the throne of our own hearts. There were areas of my life where I still wanted to sit on the throne. I want you in here, Jesus. I want you to do that. But don't come there, Jesus. I'll be king there myself. I'll sit there myself. Have we abdicated our throne for the one that we love? If we love him and his kingdom, we will abdicate our throne. We will give it up. We will give up our right to our own desires. And we will give it and we will surrender it to the servant King who is glorified. If we love him and love his kingdom, we will abdicate our throne. We see in the 1930s that Edward abdicated his throne for the woman he loved. We need to abdicate our throne for the Saviour that loved us and the God that loved us. We pray for more of the kingdom. We pray for less of our kingdom. He must increase, John the Baptist said. I must decrease. The kingdom of God comes in the person of Jesus Christ. What is a kingdom without a king? He is the kingdom of God. Praying for the kingdom to come, for more of Christ, less of self. See, Christ gave up his crown, and he gave up his glory and his robes, and he took upon himself a crown of thorns. And our sin. Who loved who? Who gave up everything for the ones he loved? Are we willing to abdicate our throne for the one we love? For the one who first loved us? If not, we can't truly pray this prayer. We can pray it. But we can't really pray for the kingdom of God if the kingdom's not starting with ourselves. We can pray, but we need the kingdom and its values and its influence and its king to sit here and rule and reign. We need to topple the idols and we need to let Christ sit on his throne in our hearts. And we can struggle with our kingdom desires, our kingdom, not his kingdom. We bring them to the king, we confess, we seek, we ask, we repent and we relinquish. But we can't have peace if we're not willing to come off the throne. We can't. I know that. I know peace. Only the king, his kingdom, his desires bring peace. We come and ask him, sit on the throne of my heart and rule and reign. See, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father has given him a seat beside him. And we're told that we're seated with him in glory. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's a position he's given us, position that God gives us. We need to give him the position to sit in our hearts. God has given him the right to sit at his right hand. Who are we to deny him the right to sit in our hearts? He must be seated in our hearts. He is the King, and he is enthroned in glory, majesty. Worship his majesty. We must allow the kingdom to come. Your kingdom come, God, O Lord. Is there something stopping the power and the glory? Who is seated? Who is leading? Who is guiding? Who is leading? Who is instructing us? If Jesus is not totally King in our hearts, in our kingdom, is there areas of our kingdom where he doesn't rule? Where we want our own independence? Where Jesus is not welcome? We want to fly our own flag? Jesus is not. We want to be independent in these areas of the authority of Jesus, of the Father in heaven. Lord Jesus can be King. You can be King over all things, but not over this. I want independence here. I want my will be here. We'll look at that next time. The will of God. If there are areas like this, then our kingdom prayer, my kingdom prayer, was lip service. It wasn't heart service. Isaiah said, these people come near me with their lips, with their mouths, and they honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Are we asking God's kingdom to come, to honour him, to glorify him? It's an attitude of the heart, mind and soul. It's not empty words, but words from the heart. Jesus, the King of the kingdom, must be seen in us, and he must be seen through us. When Jesus is not seen in my life, I should be praying, let your kingdom come, Lord, that they see who's seated on the throne. Because if I go out and have an altercation with somebody, a discussion with somebody, who are they going to see? Are they going to see the King, Jesus? Are they going to see the dishonourable King and Egypt? That's what people see. We must pray for our kingdom to decrease and his kingdom to increase. Lord Jesus, your kingdom come into our heart. Sit enthroned, ruling, reigning, remove everything of my influence in the kingdom. I bow before you, God of my salvation. I welcome you as Lord of my heart. I am a kingdom priest, and I am called to holiness. So we ask for the kingdom of God to come here first, for Christ to come here. Secondly, the kingdom to come into the church. What would this look like? Well, we see it. It's love. It's sacrificial love. John 15, 12, 13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. It's a sacrificial love. It's agape love. The love of the kingdom, the love of its King in the church. He lays down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. But who are the friends of Jesus? We're seeing that Jesus was in amongst the tax collectors and the sinners, the prostitutes. So we know that Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's not a friend of sin, a different thing, but he's a friend to sinners. And he reaches out to sinners. We are asked as a church to lay down our lives in service for Christ and for each other. We are commanded by Jesus to love each other. It's the kingdom requirement. It's a kingdom command to love each other. How can I lay down my life? You know, there are parts of the world where Christian brothers and sisters are literally laying down their lives for Jesus and for each other. Now, I don't think that we're going to be asked to do that in our culture and in our country, to physically lay down our life. We might be. So the question is, how do I lay down my life for my Saviour? How does the church lay down its life? How do we lay down our lives for each other? And the question, that's what I ask today. How can we today fulfill this kingdom's command to a lesser extent? And these are kingdom values. Sacrificial love, laying down one's own desires for the greater good of God. We're not saying that we have to just be all over the place where we don't have time. But you know, it's like, I'd use an example where I was really challenged, and Leah was biting at me to take her somewhere, and I was really, really busy. And this person that was working, I'll just tell her to go. And tell her to go, and that you can't do it just now, the person that was helping. And I said, and I really thought about it, and I thought, well, when I'm dying, I said, will I remember that I reached that target? Or will I remember that I had to go and take my daughter somewhere? So I left what I had to do when I did that, and it put me slightly behind. And that's what love is. Love is at times when it will cost you. It will cost you time. You'll have to do a bit more. We're not saying that you should do this all the time, but it should be the attitude of love. Look at what it cost Jesus. It's got to cost us. Agape love costs the church, and that is a kingdom value. If we want to see the kingdom of God in the church, it's got to cost us all, individually and collectively. That's what the world will see. So we're praying for the kingdom of God to come. Because love is the greatest thing, because God is love. Faith and hope will all disappear, but love remains. Greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. We must pursue the King daily. We must embrace the King daily. We must embrace the values of the kingdom daily as a church. Love and unity come from looking to the King, listening to the King, and coming before the throne. Can you imagine coming in, a subject coming up to the throne of a king and saying, this is what I want to do for you. And we're coming into the presence of God and we're saying, Lord, I want your kingdom values to be in your church on earth. This is what we as a church want to do for you. And we want to do it with the love that you had for us. And that is what God wants for his church. He wants his own love. That's what it means for the kingdom to come. The love of God. God is love. Your kingdom come. And finally, your kingdom come into the world. Come into the community. We pray for God's kingdom to come to families, to communities, to nations, and to rulers. John Piper said in his book, in the book that he wrote, Let the Nations Be Glad. The reason we have mission, he said, is because God is not glorified. So when we're looking at praying for our families, praying for our friends, praying for our rulers, praying for our whatever, some will be very personal to us, some will be a bit more abstract. We need to keep before us, because we're often driven to pray because of
of our love and our concern for the people around us, and that's right. But we must start with God, and that's a hard thing to do. We must remember that we pray for people and the kingdom to come into the world so that God be glorified. Piper said, the reason we have mission is because God is not glorified. The reason that we should first and foremostly pray for salvation, even of those that we love so deeply and intimately, is that God be glorified. That He be glorified. In everything, start with God. It's to the glory of God. And it will probably transform our prayer lives if we pray for the kingdom of God to come to our world. Praying for the kingdom of God to come to a rebellious world, to a rebellious people, to an ungodly people. And we pray that God be glorified through it in the salvation of our families, friends, our neighbours, of people that we find it really hard to even like, that we pray for them. We need to become like the Samaritan. We need to become like Jesus if we want kingdom, power and authority in our world. So we come and we pray for the King to come and His kingdom to come in our hearts. We pray for it to come in the church. His love to be in the heart of the church. And we pray and we go out to glorify God in our witness. We glorify God for what we say through here. Our witness might not be a theological discussion. Our witness might just be what we say and what we don't say. How we respond and how we don't respond. God be glorified in all of these things. Your kingdom come here. Your kingdom come into your church. Your kingdom come into our community. May God bless these thoughts to you. Let us conclude by singing about a king in Psalm 24. And we'll sing the whole psalm to God's praise. The world and all in it are God's. All the earth, all peoples of the earth, for it was founded by the Lord upon the seas. And verse 7 says, O you ancient gates, lift up your head. Your doors be open wide, so the King of glory come forever may abide. Let that be our prayer, that the King of glory would abide forever in our hearts today, from today onwards. Let's sing that to God's glory.
Oh.
Who is this exalted King? Who can this sovereign be? The Lord Almighty is King of glory, none but He. Lord, our God and Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, that You are our Father. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are our King. And we come to You today and we ask, Lord, for Your power and Your presence and Your authority to go with us today. And Lord, we ask now for Your grace and Your mercy and Your love to rest upon each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.